Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
The murder and racketeering trial of James Whitey Bulger enters its second week today as lawyers begin phase two of jury selection. Today, attorneys will begin asking direct questions of 150 potential jurors as they seek to impanel 18. The judge in the case, Denise Casper, hopes to have a jury in place in time to begin opening statements on Wednesday. She's a relative newcomer to the federal bench, appointed in December 2010. Before that, she had 17 years of legal experience, mainly as a prosecutor. To talk about the challenges facing Casper and for insight into how she might approach the trial, we asked former federal judge and current Harvard Law professor Nancy Gertner into our studios for a conversation. You know, it's such a complicated trial. 19 murders, extortion, money laundering. What's the big challenge here for the presiding judge in trying to keep this monster running smoothly?
Well, the running smoothly is the critical question. There are two models here, and many in between. On the one hand, there's the O.J. Simpson Freer, which is strong lawyers on both sides, high-profile case, lose control of it, goes on forever, and who knows what happens. On the other hand is a perfectly controlled case. Sometimes that means doing what the government asks, following the rules set out by the government. There's something in between, which is where fairness may lie, where you try to make sure that you're listening to issues that are important, taking care of issues that are important, even if it slows down the trial, but by the same token, controlling it. There's something in the middle, in short.
And how do you get there? How do you get to the middle if that's, in fact, where you as a federal judge want to take this?
Well, you get to it in part by knowing as much about the case or more than anyone else in the room.
Motion after motion so far already in this case, and it's only a few days old. Should emotion be stricken out of witness testimony? That's one. Should there be background checks of jurors? That's another. Should some journalists expected to be called as witnesses be forbidden from the courtroom, possibly keeping them from doing their jobs, raising maybe a First Amendment issue?
Right. It's a minefield, and the only way to deal with the minefield field is to give yourself as a judge the space to deal with it, and also to recognize that dealing with the minefield, it may slow down the case from time to time, but that's what the job's about. The job isn't only about the efficient resolution of this matter. It's also about making sure that fairness is done. Let me say one other thing. When courts of appeals get lengthy trials that are apparently fair, they're very reluctant to delve into it to see if there was an issue or if there's a problem. So it's terribly important that the judge make it fair going forward.
That's very interesting. I would have thought that a lengthy trial with a lot of testimony would lead to the greater possibility of a case being overturned on appeal.
There would be. There's certainly more possibility for error. But there's an enormous disincentive once you get it to court of appeals to overturn a case that will then lead to another four-month trial. That's all that I'm saying.
A lot of pressure on the judge.
It certainly is, yes.
How did you, as a federal judge, deal with that?
Well, I had been used to that to some degree because I'd been in high-profile cases as a lawyer. So that was part of it. But it takes over your life. You wind up working from 8 in the morning, even earlier, to whenever at night. Because it was clear to me that I had to be on top of all the issues in the case. There can't be anything that would surprise me.
I don't want to call her a rookie, but the judge in this case, Denise Casper, has not been sitting for that long, only since December 2010.
Right. And you have a question there?
Yes, Judge. Does it concern you at all that someone who hasn't been sitting that long is on this long and complicated trial?
It doesn't concern me. There's no prejudge life. You go from being confirmed to being on the bench. And you don't want a selection process that says we're only going to give serious cases to the judges we pick. It has to be a random draw.
I almost hate to put it this way, but it is very much trial by fire.
Well, but to some degree, this case is unique on all sides. It's rare that the government begins a case with serious charges, but where the FBI has itself been a player on the one hand, and on the defense side with extraordinarily serious charges facing an unbelievable torrent of press. It's a very unique case for all the players. So everyone's a rookie.
Did you ever have a case where you felt close to being overwhelmed?
I'm not sure I would admit it. I certainly wouldn't admit it as a judge, since that was part of the deal, right? There were times that an issue would come up, and I would write to my clerk, "There's an issue coming up. I have no idea what to do about it. Do something." And so he would email me back what the law was, and I would pause and take care of it. That happened.
Have you observed anything yet in this trial that makes you concerned at all?
No, not at all. Not at all.
So you think this case will go on for months? The projection is maybe four. You think it could go longer?
It could go, although my experience was that those projections are usually overstated. What happens is that once the case begins and, you know, this narrative starts, you don't have to have it repeated 7,000 times. But I don't know enough about the details of the case to say one way or the other.
Nancy Gertner, thank you very much for coming in. Good to see you again.
Thank you.
Nancy Gertner is a former federal judge in Massachusetts. She currently teaches at Harvard Law School.